This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the people of Boston, and everybody else in between. Level 3 has begun. We'll get you caught up to date with the Major League Baseball situation. I want to get to the Jake Paul and Mike Perry news that we didn't talk about tonight. A couple of loose ends to tie up as we move forward, but let's stay on the diamond right now. There's still a bunch of games going on, and it really is amazing, isn't it? Listen, Seattle are hot, Chicago are not, right? Chicago are literally on pace to be one of the worst teams in the history of Major League Baseball. And the Mariners are on a roll right now. And they were down earlier. We jumped in when they were like minus 115 or something like that, when they were losing 3-2. Let me see, what's my number here? Yeah, minus 105. So they were losing 3-2. I took them at minus 105. I saw them. I think it got up to about a plus 150 or so. I remember we talked about it at plus 135, and then I saw a plus 150 after. And here we go again, right? The Chicago White Sox. The Mariners have been good at coming back. The White Sox bullpen has been shaky. And the Mariners put a two spot up in the bottom of the seventh inning. They're now leading the game 4-3, and we're going into the top of the ninth inning. The Mariners are now minus 700 on the money line. This is really unbelievable with the White Sox. It could be four times potentially on this show in the last week that we've bet against the White Sox in game at plus money and they've blown the lead. You know what, then? Something that we got to realize here. As bad as the White Sox are, they seem to have the lead quite a lot. We need to start taking a look at the White Sox in the first five innings of these games, right? Because they're blowing the lead all the time. The total closed at 7 tonight in this game. Everybody's been riding the Seattle unders all the time. I have as well. But I don't like it so much against the White Sox because of the White Sox bullpen. We see them give up a bunch of runs all the time. So we're up to 7 here right now. It could be a push if Seattle get out of this. The Dodgers and the Rangers, well, we put the Dodgers at the back end of that parlay and we win the parlay. Looks like I didn't need to like throw away the bet on the Texas Rangers at +1.5. I should have taken them +13.5. The Dodgers are winning 14-1. 14-1. It's pretty impressive. They took 2 of 3 against the Yankees. They come back home. It was kind of a weird spot tonight. Paxton didn't pitch well against Pittsburgh last time he pitched, and the Dodgers are just murdering it tonight. Freddie Freeman has gone off. It's been a home run festival. Jason Hayward has hit a home run. Freddie Freeman has hit a home run. Ohtani hit a home run. So Ohtani's got 16 home runs now. Mookie Betts has 3 RBIs tonight. Just one of those big number nights for the Dodgers. Ohtani's got 2 RBIs, a home run. Freddie Freeman's 3-for-4, his batting average up to .297 right now. One thing that's becoming a little bit scarier for the Dodgers is the back end still needs to be better, but it is starting to get better now, right? Like, you don't have to worry about Betts. You don't have to worry about Ohtani. You got Freeman, Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez, and then it was everybody else after that. right? But Gavin Lux, up, you know, 223 is not very good, but dude, the guy was hitting like 190 before. Pajes is up to 266. That's good enough. Hayward's up to 238. Rojas, 275. A lot of guys, the back end's getting better. Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe over at See the Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Level 3 has begun. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining us right now. The Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in the house. Countdown to tip-off is on, and the Dallas Mavericks better be a lot better tomorrow night. Otherwise, we've got a short series in store. We all know that 3-0 is done. It doesn't matter whether it's the NBA or the NHL. Both series are in pivotal. Game 3 is coming up. There has been some line movement in this basketball game as Kristaps Porzingis has a rare, weird injury. He's listed it questionable right now, but I wouldn't expect that Kristaps Porzingis is going to play in this game. The Mavericks are up to 2.5-point favorites in this basketball game. And as dire as it seems, and they got lit up in Game 1, they were in Game 2, if they don't miss as many free throws as they did, they missed 8 free throws. They lost the basketball game by 7 points. There are some loose ends that they can tie up. Like the Edmonton Oilers have been more dominated by the Florida Panthers than the Celtics have been dominant over the Mavericks, right? Like the Oilers have actually played well, but the Panthers have just been better than they are. The Mavericks haven't played well. Kyrie Irving, 0-for-8 from three-point land in this series. Who the hell would have thought that Kyrie Irving would not have a three-point shot made through 2 games of the NBA Finals? It's pretty clear that Kyrie does get rattled when he goes back to Boston. He's lost 12 consecutive games there. And, you know, he's talking about, oh, I thought it would be louder after Game 1. Don't worry about how loud it is. Worry about hitting some damn shots. But with that being stated, I do think that Kyrie Irving will hit some shots tomorrow. I am on the Dallas Mavericks. We had Paul Bovey on with us earlier, who's a very, very sharp NBA handicapper. And Paul's all in on the Mavericks tomorrow. An interesting bet. Take a look at the team total of the Dallas Mavericks. Over 55.5 points in the first half of play. I do think Dallas are going to hit more shots. I think their role players are going to hit more shots now that they're back on their home court. And I still think Boston are going to score. So I do think there'll be some points put up on the board in this basketball game. I do like the over of this game tomorrow night. Major League Baseball going on right now. We're tied at Petco. It's tied at 3. We're in the bottom of the 8th inning right now. But the Friars do have runners on first and second. In-game number is currently -190. The Oakland Athletics are +160. We're looking to come back and beat the Chicago White Sox again. Seems to be a nightly thing on this show where the White Sox have a lead and we say, well, they're the Chicago White Sox and they're going to blow the lead. They were nursing a 3-2 lead all night tonight over the Seattle Mariners, but the Mariners are up 4-3 in the top of the 9th inning right now, and there's 2 out. They're looking to finish this game off. The Dodgers absolutely destroying the Texas Rangers tonight. A tough spot for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Coming back from the East Coast trip, generally all teams coming back from road trips is not a spot that I really like betting on them in, especially coming off a big series against the Yankees. Paxton got lit up last week against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Dodgers have absolutely gone off. They put up a 14 spot. We got a football score. And speaking of football, Rick Saratella is going to step up and join us in level 3. We'll talk NFL minicamps. NFL minicamps are open, and it didn't take long for a controversy to start at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey with the New York Jets as Aaron Rodgers misses the first day of mandatory minicamp. And he was unexcused, but he was excused at the same point in time. And I swear, I don't understand how Robert Saleh is as bad as he is with dealing with the media. And I also don't understand either, why wouldn't you just say where Aaron Rodgers is as well to avoid all the speculation, to avoid the gossip, to avoid people like me talking about this? Just say, listen, he had this commitment. This is where he is, and he's going to be here, and we knew about it. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is from the school that no publicity You know, any publicity is good publicity. No bad publicity exists as long as people are talking about him. And I don't think he's going to be bothered by this. Is this going to affect the New York Jets when they take the field in week one? No. But it is a microcosm of how their organization is run, in which a football player that has taken like three or four snaps with them basically runs the organization, right? And you're the quarterback. It's day one. You're talking about how you need to, the football team needs to, you know, throw away outside distractions. And then day one of mandatory minicamp, you decide not to show up. You are the distraction. That's the problem. You are the distraction. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. A lot of stuff I wanted to get to, and you know that it's summertime because I haven't sweated in the studio in a long time, and I'm like, damn, it's actually hot in here. And Joey Chestnut is in the news, as of course the 4th of July rapidly approaching, and Joey Chestnut, the competitive eating kingpin of all kingpins, has been banned from this year's Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Chestnut agreed to represent a vegan brand of Impossible Foods over Nathan's. And this is also something that we didn't see coming. So Joey Chestnut signed a $1.2 million deal with a competitor, right? Yeah, it's the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And Nathan's pays Joey Chestnut an appearance fee as well. To show up. So he gets paid to win when he wins, but he's also getting like $200,000 as an appearance fee. But he signed a deal with what they deem a rival, and it's like a non-compete clause. So Joey kind of brought it upon himself, but it's pretty crazy that the Hot Dog King decided to sponsor plant-based hot dogs. Except, you know what? You know, it's actually a good sales point, because he could say, listen, no one's eating more hot dogs in the world than me. It's a fact. And I can tell you that these things are much better for you. And then I think, you know what? He's actually telling the truth. And the reports are he got $1.2 million from the Impossible Foods company that makes the plant-based hot dogs and other products. As Joey Chestnut is disappointed, but he understands, and he says you'll still see him in competitive eating events, and he's still going to be eating a hot dog, and he's still the hot dog king, etc. And who in a million years saw this one coming? Sponsor conflict, keeping Joey Chestnut out of hot dog eating contest. 16-time champion. He cannot compete this year, as a Major League Eating announced. A spokesperson for Major League Eating told ESPN that Chestnut had chosen to represent another hot dog brand and therefore would not be allowed to participate in the Nathan's contest. Chestnut's competitive eating is competitive eating's biggest star. By far, he is. Matt Stoney's good. People are already talking about who's going to win. His own statement, he says that he's gutted to find out that he will not be able to compete. I love competing in that event. I love celebrating America with my fans all over this great country on the 4th, and I've been training to defend my title. Sadly, this is a decision that Nathan's and Major League Eating are making, and it'll deprive the great fans of the holiday's usual joy and entertainment. Impossible Foods told ESPN that Chestnut can compete in any contest he chooses, and that meat eaters shouldn't have to be exclusive to just one wiener. So this is where we're at here right now. The great Joey Chestnut has been shut down. Like I said, a lot of things in sports, you know, you don't really expect to, you know, in sports news. I don't want to call this sports because I'm not one of the people that call it sports. But it is, you know, it is what it is. And I'm not going to lie, we've bet on it before. Over recent years, I've just taken the under because, you know, he's so good. I've noticed he doesn't have to break the record every time, and he is getting a little bit older. So there's the news that you needed to know about Joey Chestnut. So he will not be participating. And I don't know, maybe they'll work something out now that it's in the media and all this type of stuff. Does it really matter that he's pimping plant-based hot dogs? He's, you know, but Nathan says that they're paying him, and he went around their back, and he took money from another company. So he's banned, baby. You're banned. But bans can often be rescinded. I also wanted to get to, we talked about the Lakers situation last night, but I just start to wonder right now, like, how long is this going to take? And do they really have, like, no options right now? There's the talk about Borrego. There are reports, I don't know if it was Windhorse that was stating that, I think it was Windhorse. And it was in an article I was reading, and it was Windhorse. And Windhorse isn't in some sort of, I got to be first and right type of war like the other two dudes are. So Windhorse said that basically Redick's, like, talk with the Lakers has been minimal, right? It hasn't. It's been more of a media thing that, you know, we've talked about it with the Lakers in the past, like, all the time, that there's so many different voices with the Lakers. So let's say LeBron James thinks, okay, make J.J. Redick the coach. It doesn't mean that Pelinka wants that. It doesn't mean that Jeannie Buss wants that, right? So there's, like, yeah, you know, it's why it's so difficult. You need to get a consensus on everything with that team. And, you know, like, people are talking about, oh, is it embarrassing? I don't think it's embarrassing. They tried to get Hurley. He didn't do it. It is what it is. I don't think it's embarrassing for the Lakers. I thought their offer was embarrassing, the small amount of money. And that's what's coming out as well. That, remember Tyronn Lue interview with the Lakers, and they didn't offer him a reasonable amount of money. Put it this way. Monty Williams makes more money with the Detroit Pistons right now than Hurley would have made with the Lakers. Like, they didn't even make him close to the highest paid coach in the NBA. Like, that's not going to entice him. It's almost insulting more than anything. So now the talk is, oh, well, is it embarrassing for the Lakers? I don't think it is, per se, as far as Hurley. I think the lowball monetary offer was embarrassing. But, like, what if this Borrego guy, what if he takes the Cleveland Cavalier job? Right? Then what? There's one name that's popped up right now. And I think he's a great basketball coach. I think he's really, really good. And he might be the option right now if they like him. But I think that this guy is better with a younger team. But it's Kenny Atkinson. Kenny Atkinson did a really good job with the Brooklyn Nets. He got pushed out the door because they brought in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And they wanted a star coach. They didn't want Atkinson. So, like, Atkinson brought the team to the playoffs, right, and did a great job coaching up the Brooklyn Nets, and they got worse with superstars after. Atkinson's interviewed for a couple of jobs. He's, you know, he's been an assistant with the Golden State Warriors for the past couple of years. He's a very good coach. I think he's a good coach, but is he the fit that they want?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Rick Saratellas, and everybody else in between. Football is here in all facets. We're going into the championship weekend. The United Football League, Birmingham and San Antonio, ready to throw it down. CFL has kicked off. NFL mini camps are open for business. Let's bring in our main man, Rick Saratella, the founder of the NFL Draft Bible. And, of course, allaccessfootball.com, now a scout with the Edmonton Elks. Rick, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, love chopping it up, talking real football with you, Gabe. How are you, man?
Hey, listen, there's a lot of stuff to get to, including NFL mini camps have opened, mandatory mini camps. And there was, it didn't take long for there to be a story out of New York as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned. But for me, I think this is more on Robert Saleh more than anything else and how the New York Jets handled this. So there were two unexcused absences from the camp today. Hassan Reddick, who just flatly wants more money, and Aaron Rodgers. So then people think, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers didn't show up. Well, why? What's the story here? But Aaron Rodgers had a prior commitment that he told Robert Saleh about. So I'm a little bit confused. It seems like it was excused. It's not like he just didn't show up. But I just can't help but think back to last year, Rick, when he pled the fifth, when talking about Zach Wilson and the quarterback situation. For a guy that's been in New York for a couple of years now, he literally is the worst coach in the league when it comes to dealing with the media.
Well, you know, he came over from the California side of things, got thrown to the wolves with the New York media. He is going into year three, but yeah, he doesn't handle it well because the response should be, hey, Aaron Rodgers is a future Hall of Famer. He's played 20 plus years in the league and he'll be okay. Like, there's no need to tell everybody all the details, why he's not here. He had a prior commitment. Quite frankly, unless you're dying or have a health issue, I don't see what's more important than being with your football family. So,
you know what,
right?
You know what's interesting too, just on another flip side of that, Randy Gregory had an unexcused absence from the Buccaneers camp. All Todd Bowles said is, "We'll deal with it." See,
yeah,
that's it. That's all he said. We'll deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, Robert Saleh's like this chatty Cathy. Let me tell you all about the problem, what's going on. And, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers loves it. He loves to be the talk of the town for a guy who's played, like, all the three or four snaps in New York. This guy gets so much leeway. He gets so many headlines. And it's all because of mishandled situations. Just like, you know, hey, red flag, Philadelphia Eagles trade away Hassan Reddick for a bag of chips. Maybe you should have waited and got this done with, you know, when you traded for Hassan Reddick instead of letting it linger. Do we have to let it linger? Like, I'm back in the 90s. What's that song? Was it the Cranberries? But why are we letting this thing linger? So then now it's a headline, right? Like, what are we doing?
Well, that's what just fascinates me. Day one of minicamp, somehow the New York Jets have national headlines about Aaron Rodgers not at camp. And I couldn't help but think the same thing as well, Rick. Aaron Rodgers likes it. He likes being in the news. Like, he believes no publicity is bad publicity. He's from that. He's from that vein. Like, hey, as long as people are talking about me, I don't care.
Yeah, and I believe that he's probably somewhere on another dark retreat, right? I mean, what could be so important unless you have a health issue that you can't be with your football team like a Jordan Love is in Green Bay, by the way.
Well, and that's an interesting situation. And, you know, I brought this up before. If you asked the Green Bay Packers, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love? You know, I think we know what the answer is. The New York Jets are putting a lot of stock, like you said, in a quarterback that played a couple of snaps for them. It's not getting any younger, coming off of an injury, and he's kind of in complete control of the organization. I mean, let's be real. Nate Hackett wouldn't be the offensive coordinator, you know, if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers. And what happens if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt again, then they're stuck with Nate Hackett again?
Yeah, it's like fascinating. Yeah, there's no contingency plan. It's like all the eggs are in the Aaron Rodgers basket once again. The guy played all the three snaps, and he might get snapped like a twig once again. And then what's the plan, right? Like, I think the Jets did a poor planning in the offseason, poor execution. What have you been doing the last few months? Get the Hassan Reddick deal done. Get the backup quarterback deal done. Get these situations handled before the mandatory obligation, all the media circus and affair that comes along with it. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, Aaron Rodgers is not even a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League today, in my honest opinion.
Well, you know, I remember going back at the time, and I think you agreed, and we talked about if I was the Jets, I'd be going after Lamar Jackson. I'd be going after sort of a long-term star quarterback if you were willing to spend all this money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretzi. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining us on Sirius XM channel 159 of the Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks. We're talking NFL minicamps right now. And Let's go from the New York Jets to the New York Giants. And you and I spoke, and I went over the odds a couple of weeks ago about who the starting quarterbacks would be week one for teams. And Drew Lock was plus 400 to be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. And you said that's not a crazy bet, that they're not, you know, married to Daniel Jones. He's coming off of an injury. And case in point, Daniel Jones is unable to participate in team drill still right now. Now they say, well, he's going to be able to go in July when training camp opens. But nevertheless, it's just more of an opportunity for Drew Lock to learn the offense, to get to know the coaching staff, to gain their trust. And quite frankly, we don't know what Daniel Jones' health is going to be like when he comes back in July even. And then when he faces contact after that.
Oh, let me put my shocked face on. Daniel Jones isn't healthy. You know, this has been ongoing for several years. You can talk about the neck. You can talk about the ACL. The confidence level in the health and the performance is dwindling. And I believe that Brian Daboll, the head coach, Joe Shane, the GM, they feel like they got burned by Daniel Jones, right? They got bamboozled like the previous regime. And here we are like 5-6 years and we still can't figure out if Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback. Like, are you kidding me? I fully expect Drew Lock, like as you alluded to, the door is cracked. It's there for Drew Lock to kick that door down if he wants to, right? I know picking up the playbook has been an issue with that guy, but if he sticks his nose in the playbook, he can kick down that door. I fully expect to see Nathan Rourke at some point once the season starts spiraling down the drains again. And, oh, by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if Nathan Rourke gets a look-see with a start or two in week 17, week 18. And let's remember, Tommy DeVito won more football games than Daniel Jones last year.
And what is Tommy DeVito's future right now?
Well, he's still on the roster. So, I mean, if Daniel Jones can't go, I think Tommy DeVito will be the two behind Drew Lock.
And Drew Lock right now is still plus 400, guys, to be the starting quarterback in week one. So that's all it is. Doesn't mean he has to remain the starting quarterback, but who's going to be the starting quarterback in week one? Drew Lock plus 400, Daniel Jones minus 600. And minus 600 for a guy that's not even healthy enough to be playing right now is pretty crazy to me, right? I'm just stating for a roll of the dice, guys, Drew Lock plus 400. Russell Wilson's up to minus 900 right now to be the starting quarterback in week one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Fields plus 550. Jacoby Brissett is minus 370 right now to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. Drake May is plus 270. This is an interesting one. The odds have shifted on this one, and you and I both like J.J. McCarthy a lot, and Kevin O'Connell's been raving about J.J. McCarthy, actually. He's hit all the marks. He's done everything that he's been asked to do so far in all of his camp appearances. But the current odds right now, Sam Darnold minus 225, J.J. McCarthy plus 175 to be the starting quarterback in week one. Almost getting to be worth rolling the dice on our boy JJ right now as well at this plus money.
I love JJ McCarthy. I think, preseason, he is going to win over the room. And I think he will be more prepared than what the Vikings are expecting. And when he steps onto the field and he's very accurate and pinpoint decision making and smarts and picks up the playbook, he's going to show that he gives them a better chance to win in week one over Sam Darnold. I think he's going to take that job. I like the underdog here. I think J.J. McCarthy, cream always rises to the top, and I think he has too much talent, far superior talent than Sam Darnold, to be held back.
Quarterback battle with the Raiders. Gardner Minshew, minus 250. Aiden O'Connell, plus 200. I was going over some numbers, and I found this to be fascinating as I saw So Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell had the exact same completion percentage last year, 62%. They had the exact same TD INT ratio as well, 1.7, and they had the exact same sack percentage, 6.5. It's amazing. They're basically the same quarterback.
Except one guy's about 5 years younger, right, and playing at the same level. So
one guy did that in his first year in a dysfunctional situation, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is like year two with the same organization in that system. I mean, we spoke about this. We saw Antonio Pierce speak with NFL Network. He said it's every opportunity for Aiden O'Connell to take this job. He's earned that right. And I don't think he's just going to give it away come preseason. And I don't think Gardner Minshew is going to come in and just tear up the NFL where there's where he leaves no doubt that he's hands down better than Aiden O'Connell. And I think Aiden O'Connell has a lot of respect inside that locker room for the way he hung in the pocket, took some tough hits, and delivered the ball. Hey, every game wasn't perfect. Some of those stat lines were really ugly. But to your point, he was a rookie, and I did see improvement, I thought, towards the stretch of the season.
Yeah, you know what? I think that he deserves an opportunity. And, you know, Coach Pierce has said that it's going to be a fair battle, the best, you know, whoever gives the team the best chance to win. But I think it would make more sense to go with O'Connell and you have Minshew as the backup. Now, people are saying, well, look at the money that they gave Minshew. But you can also argue, why did you even sign Minshew? Right? He's the same quarterback. What did you pay him all his money for? They do weird things at the quarterback position. From the Jimmy G deals to now Minshew, they can't make up their mind. They could have potentially drafted a quarterback. They decided not to. Rick, in our final moments here, so now you're a scout with the Edmonton Elks. What was it like for you watching a team that you're associated with on TV now? A little bit different, right? The emotions while watching the game week one. I know that in pro sports, there's no moral victories. But it was week one. There was a lot of positives to take away from week one. Now you get the defending Grey Cup champion, Montreal Alouettes, coming into Edmonton. And they've won 9 games in a row now, dating back to last year. But what was your takeaways from the Edmonton Elks first game of the season?
Yeah, very emotional. Luckily, I locked myself in the Jersey Shore corridors here and watched the roller coaster ride. But I want to say, hey, hats off to Saskatchewan. They were the better team that day. I believe we showed our potential, right? That dangerous P word of what we're capable of doing. To your point, there are no moral victories. The good news is only Calgary and Saskatchewan won in the West, and there's still 20 weeks left in the season. So we have the defending champions up next. I think anytime you face any kind of champion, right, it's always a great barometer test, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
We've seen, though, you know what, I noticed Chris Jones, there was a different culture. He seemed to be very loose on the sidelines. The atmosphere on the sideline amongst the team seems to be very positive. Right now, and as you stated, it's an extremely long season. And listen, no football game is over until it's over. But you see in the CFL, it really is crazy. When there's 3 downs, man, there's a lot of possessions. And a game can really turn in the last couple of minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. No lead is safe in the CFL. As we saw this weekend, the BC Lions, a heavily hyped BC Lion team, were in complete control of the game. It looked like it was going to turn into a rout. They end up losing 35-28. They were up by a couple of touchdowns, right? CFL, man, you know, it's called the Canadian Football League. It's actually called the Crazy Football League. That's what the C stands for.
It's an exciting brand of football. You can argue that every outcome was opposite of what the consensus thought this past weekend, right? I thought it was an upside-down, tipsy-turvy kind of weekend. To your point, though, Chris Jones has been there and done that. Two of our best players, McLeod Bethel Thompson and Niles Morgan, also happen to be our leaders, and I think the players will gravitate towards their leadership. And I have to say, the double E on your shelf over there is looking good.
Yeah, you know, we appreciate the swag. We figured we had to show some love for you. Yeah, the Edmonton Elks getting some love on the set here. Always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff. Always love talking football with you. Look forward to catching up with you next week. Good luck against the Alouettes this week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to Rick Saratella for kicking it with us. I am Gabriel Morenci. This is Sports Rage. Countdown to kickoff is on in the National Football League. And before we know it, the preseason will be here. Regular season around the corner. College football is really rapidly approaching. We have the UFL championship game this weekend that we have to get into. Rob Vino, who we've spoken the most about the UFL with this year, will be back in the rotation this week. The Birmingham Stallions are only 3-point favorites in this game against San Antonio. Coach Wade Phillips done an awesome job with this San Antonio football team. So we'll get into the UFL championship later in the week. I'm already on Birmingham, though. I got Birmingham in futures. I got them at minus 120 last week. And so I don't have to worry about the point spread, but I'm surprised it's only 3 points. Birmingham were down early to Michigan last week, but they really dialed it up a notch. Matt Corral came in for Adrian Martinez. And I questioned the move, but every move that Skip Holtz makes, he just pushes all the right buttons. Unlike Robert Salah with the media, but that's another story. So speaking of the media, we all know about the potential circus and disaster that is the the Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul fight. And it was postponed until Friday, November the 15th, after Mike Tyson had a medical incident on an airplane, unable to train for the fight that was supposed to be in July. So I don't know, like this, you know, I don't think this fight's ever going to happen, to be honest with you. Something else will happen before November, but the internet started to blow up tonight about Mike Perry, bare knuckles fighting fighter Mike Perry, former UFC fighter Mike Perry, and pretty much all-around psychopath fighter Mike Perry. That Mike Perry was actually going to fight Jake Paul in July instead of Mike Tyson, yet, you know, anytime there's Jake Paul news, you want to feel it out and make, you know, you want, there's always a lot of rumors and the modern social media. So there's a couple of MMA websites and boxing websites saying that, you know, Mike Perry is saying that he's in. And looking at Jake Paul's Twitter account right now, he tweeted out a couple hours ago, "I smell victory, 9 a.m. tomorrow." So I'm assuming that means there's a press conference tomorrow or he's going to announce something tomorrow. And this is a big difference. Mike Tyson, you know, Mike Tyson can still hurt anybody right now if he connected and punched you in the face. But at the same point in time, he's 58 years old. And say what you will about Jake Paul. Jake Paul will know how to defend himself. But Mike Perry is a step up from Mike Tyson, as crazy as that sounds. Like, Mike Perry won't be easy to finish. The guy's a nut job that fights bare knuckles fighting. And Mike Perry's stand-up is very good. That's why he left the UFC, right? Like, Mike Perry was sort of in, you know, he was in the UFC, and he hated being taken down. He just wants to stand and brawl with you. This actually would be a much more interesting fight. Like, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, I did not want to see happen. And I didn't have any, like, oh, how will this play out? Like, even Conor McGregor, and there's drama with his fight, too. What a shock. But even like Conor and Floyd, there was an intrigue about, all right, how is this going to look? You know, and we kind of called it and said Floyd will carry him to get it to the over. And he did. But, you know, there was sort of, you know, there wasn't a 30-year age gap between the two of them. Right? There was sort of an intrigue. Like, I'd much rather see Mike Perry fight Jake Paul. Like, this fight, I'd be like, hey, I'll watch this. And that's the one thing about Jake Paul, and I know a lot of people find him annoying, and I'm not a big Jake Paul, so I'm not here, oh, you know, listen, hear me out on why he's so cool. But one thing about him that I will give him credit for is, listen, I thought it was ridiculous that he was fighting Mike Tyson at 58 years old, but I do believe that he will fight anybody. Right? You know, because Jake Paul, he doesn't care about losing. That's the one thing with him. If you don't care about losing, then, you know, it takes a lot of fear out. All he cares about is making money. And all he cares about is, like, putting a show on and, you know, and running, you know, running his own thing. So whether it's Mike Tyson, Mike Perry, or if Conor McGregor actually could fight him and he wouldn't have a UFC contract, he would fight him. Like, I don't think Jake Paul would actually duck anybody. I think he would fight like Conor McGregor if Conor McGregor would do it, right? I mean, it was Mike Tyson because it was a big name. I think that basically Jake Paul doesn't really care, like, who you are as long as you can sell a fight, right? As long as there's, like, you know, a reason for it, you know, like the Anderson Silva fights and all this type of stuff. At least there's a name. That was dumb, too. you know, but Mike Perry is more interesting in my opinion. So San Diego wins tonight. Higgy hits a home run. They win 4-3. But I swear, man, if you guys remember, I said this before. We've always said this about this team, especially this year. And I don't know, the past couple of years even. But yeah, let's just tell you this year's team. It's sort of been an up-and-down season for this baseball team. You know, just scratching and clawing around 500. But every time things start to go well, and it's like, oh, you know what? Look at this. Like, you know, this, you know, the pitching is really going well, or, you know, the bullpen is great. Every time something really starts to go well, and it looks like this team could go on a little bit of a run, something happens, right? A couple of weeks ago was the Darvish, Musgrove, Darvish. And now Profar tonight, and a weird injury, basically injured his knee at home plate, swinging at a pitch, and it didn't look good, right? The whole thing, the way it went down, like it didn't, you know what I mean? It didn't look good. I'm not Dr. David Chow. Maybe you should check out David, check out the Six Score and Chow's Twitter account. Maybe he's got something on it right now, but it didn't look good. And, you know, like I said, Tatis has got the big hit streak, was it 17 games? It's just like every time things start to get going a bit, right? You know, you got a walk-off home run, crowds all into it, 41,000 people in the stadium, and there's like an injury on a swing and a miss, right? It's just, it's nonstop here. Speaking of nonstop, this Dodger game is nonstop tonight. The Dodgers and the Texas Rangers were going on forever this evening, but it's finally come to an end. This is a game in which, you know, the Texas Rangers probably wish there was a mercy rule in Major League Baseball, as the Dodgers absolutely mauled them all night long, 15-2. It was 14-1 earlier.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Crazy night in Major League Baseball tonight. The Seattle Mariners came back on the Chicago White Sox again. I'm telling you, for those of you that bet on baseball and bet in-game baseball, every night in Major League Baseball, there's going to be a game and a couple of games. We seem to focus in on the West Coast games because we're on the air when they're going on more. But there's always going to be a couple of games a night where a team's going to be down 4-1 or something, you know, 5-2. You can get them plus 2.5 runs and or, you know, if you want to roll the dice and take them on the money line. But there's always a few comebacks, but you got to pick your spots. You can't just do it blindly. And, like, there's certain teams that are susceptible and vulnerable to blowing leads, and the White Sox are one of them, right? I mean, it was last week we were live on the air, and the White Sox were playing the Cubs, and they kept on, you know, they had a bit, like a 5-0 lead in one of the games and they ended up losing the game. They blew the lead against the White Sox, blew the lead against the Cubs in consecutive nights. We cashed both of those. It happened again last night with the Mariners and the White Sox. It happened again tonight. So four times, like in the last like seven shows, I think we've bet against the White Sox in game at plus money, no less. Another great performance by Paul Skeens tonight. And, you know, a lot of times there's these dominant college pitchers, and either it doesn't translate to the Major League Baseball level automatically, it takes a little bit of time, and or they get hurt, right? There's been a, you know, some teams get scared off of, I mean, I remember there was talk maybe the Pirates wouldn't even take Skeens because maybe he's going to get hurt. He's a college pitcher. He throws 100 miles an hour. And, you know, that was kind of crazy talk, right? But, you know, this guy is like 1,000,000% the real deal and living up to the hype. My only concern with him is in the long term is I think it is a smart idea that they don't like let him try to throw complete games and stuff. Number one, the Pittsburgh Pirates are actually lingering in a wild card chase. So the Pirates are playing for something. And we're talking about a guy that has Hall of Fame capabilities. Like as it is right now, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And we're talking about somebody that this time last year was pitching for the LSU Tigers. And Like I said, there's a lot of big-time college pitchers that don't automatically just dominate in Major League Baseball in their first go at it. Like this, you know, Strasburg-like, or Fernando Valenzuela. Fernando wasn't throwing 100 miles an hour, but Fernando Mania. But it's few and far between. Like, this kid is legitimately special. His prop tonight was 7.5 strikeouts, which I think you're going to see. They're going to start to go to 8.5 with him. 7.5 is sort of the number. He got to 8 tonight, but what surprised me about this was that it was plus money. It was plus 115 to the 7.5. I don't think we're going to see this moving forward as he went over again for the fourth time, over 7.5 for the fourth time in his last 5 starts. And not just the strikeouts, but only 5 hits allowed. Last week, a dominant performance against the Dodgers at home in Pittsburgh. Now tonight on the road, Cardinal fans are a smart baseball crowd. They all got up and tipped their cap for him on the way off the field tonight. So he's a lot of fun to watch pitch. Like I said, there's, you know, we're all sports junkies and we watch these games and stuff, but he really is somebody that if he's coming to your town and you get an opportunity to see him live, you probably want to do it. You know, it's Roger Clemens-like, actually, right? Like, if you watch, like, just he's overpowering big league hitters, like, massively overpowering them. And his average fastball tonight was 99.9 for the duration of the game. Like I said, you know, in the modern era, you get some relievers that'll you know, flirt with 100, hit 100, and the Chapmans of the world. But, you know, these are relievers, and they're throwing 96, 97, 98, or whatnot, but Skeens is doing it consistently through 6 innings. And, you know, like tonight, he only had 3 strikeouts, I think, through 3-4 innings. And I had the strikeout prop to the over, and I was a little bit concerned. And he just started dialing them up as the game went on. But thanks to Paul Skeens, because he was part of our 6-leg parlay that was a 46-1 parlay. And I am anything but the parlay king. I never do these things, but I played like 6 individual baseball games. And they were still up on the screen. And I saw after I played them, it said parlay, you know, 46-1 odds. And I said, all right, you know. And I said, I'll put $10 down just for the hell of it. I'm already playing these games anyways, but I'll see what happens. And lo and behold, they actually all won. So we won $468 on a $10 bet on the parlay. But we also went 6-0 separately with those games as well. So we crushed the diamond tomorrow, which means we could be in trouble tomorrow. We like the Dallas Mavericks to win the game tomorrow, the game to go over the number tomorrow, and give me Kyrie Irving over 23.5 points. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.